Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Okay, I rebooted Skype. I think that fixed the problem. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm great.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. We're continuing tonight's live marathon. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Doug, would you like to open us in prayer?
Sure. Oh, Lord. We are helpless without you. Forgive us for ever thinking anything different. We need you to direct everything. We have tried doing it our own way, listening to the world, being directed by man or woman, and it just always makes a mess. We're asking you to please take over. Help us to hear your voice in whatever way you want to communicate us so that we can be directed by you. We bless your holy name. We thank you. We ask you in this time that you'd be fully in charge, that we'd accomplish your purposes, that the right people would hear it, that you would get them here, everybody that needs to hear this message. We thank you and we praise you. In obedience to your command, we pray all this to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Doug, how you been since last time?
Good, good. Been super, super busy, as always.
Well, welcome back. And where are you from for people that are tuning in for the first time?
We are on the north side of Kansas City, northeast side of Kansas City, Missouri. Excelsior Springs is the town that I'm in at the moment. We have been 20 years running homeless shelter and food pantry and thrift store and ministry and caring for people and Christians living in community. We have 10 mobile homes in a park where people come and stay with us and get prayer, and some live here and help. And we have a giant community storehouse, warehouse, where people from all over town can donate stuff and we get it to whoever needs it. We have a 40-acre farm with a 20-acre limestone mine cave underneath it that could probably house 1,000 or 2,000 people in a pinch. And we've just been living on faith, trusting God, and watching him grow this thing and keep this snowball rolling for 20 years now. And our website's fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. I have 8 books that I've written that are on there about how to hear God better, about spiritual warfare, about how the church needs to be different, about the city church, about all kinds of stuff that are available free for download. Or you can order them off Amazon, but they're free if you just want to read them there. And some of them have audio books. We have music that we've written that is pretty cool and all kinds of stuff. So we just encourage folks, if you need prayer or deliverance or whatever, you can reach out to us. All the links are on the website, how to donate if you want to help participate in what we're doing here. Super efficient. We're just a little ministry. Nobody's paid. There's no salaries. But we take care of a lot of people. People come every day at our thrift store. We just have fridges at the front where you can just come take whatever you want. And it's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Doug, what's your website?
FellowshipOfTheMartyrs.com, MARTYRS.com.
All right. We've got this hour together, and the mic is yours.
Well, I prayed about it, but I haven't particularly heard what we need to talk about. I don't particularly have any direction right at this moment, but if there's something on your heart or something you think we need to talk about, I'll be glad to launch into it.
We'll continue the conversation. What do you think about what went on at that Stronger Men's Conference sponsored by the Assemblies of God pastor, John Lindell, James River Church, and the what do you call that? An exposition by a male stripper?
Yeah, James River, I'm familiar with because my dad lives just a few miles away from there. And I got family that's in Springfield, Missouri. And the Assembly of God is headquartered there. And James River is, one of those mega churches that is real, real proud of itself. And I don't think has discernment much at all. Every time I go by there on the highway, the Lord has me praying against it. They have a cross on the top of the steeple that's not really a cross. I don't know how to explain it, but they designed it so that whatever direction you're coming from, it's a cross. So there's an upright, and then there's a horizontal beam, and then there's another one at a 90-degree angle to it. So it has – it's a cross from whatever direction you're looking at it. You know what I mean? But it's not a cross. It's something else altogether. It's just not a cross. And it's weird. I think it's prophetic of the whole place. It like kind of looks like a cross, but as you circle around it, you're like, hey, there's an extra thing on there. What's that for? And it's like Jesus plus. And I've got a writing on our website about the Jesus fill in the blanks, you know, like trust the Lord your God with all your heart and eat vegan. Or, you know, he'll abide in you and you'll abide in him so long as you believe in a pre-trib rapture. And it seems like all of the different denominations have something that he says don't add or subtract, but they do. And it's Christ and him crucified and Jesus' name only baptism. Or something, you know, and the Assemblies of God, it's like you can be a pastor so long as you've never been divorced. Even if it was before you were Christian, even if it wasn't your fault, you can kill somebody, go to jail, serve your time, get out and be an Assembly of God pastor, but you can't have been divorced.
Well, you know, I heard a take on that one time. It has nothing to do with divorce. It was talking about polygamy.
Yeah, yeah.
It could not be
one wife at a time. Not one wife ever.
You could not be a pastor if you've got two or three or four wives like the Muslims do. Now, that's an interesting way to look at it, and I would lean more towards that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The husband of one wife. You can have one, but you're not supposed to have two. Back to you.
Well, if you're going to take it literally, if you're a widower, you can't be a pastor either. So, you know, if your wife dies and you remarry, forget it. That doesn't work either. You know, that's my dad's case. My mom died 20-some years ago, and he got remarried, and they've been faithful and wonderful, and she's a great lady, but the Assembly of God would disqualify him if you were going to take it literally, which they don't. They'll say, well, if she died, you're okay. It's just divorce. But the verse doesn't say that. The verse says one wife. And if you're going to interpret it as one wife ever, then that disqualifies them too. You know, it's I don't know how many people come to me and say, you know, my church just preaches the gospel. We just go straight by the Bible. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't. You go by your interpretation of the Bible. Everybody does. That's all you got. Don't pretend like you're following letter by letter and you don't ever get anything wrong. And, you know, you don't. I can, in 10 minutes, tell you what I have to say to get thrown out of there. And it'd be entirely biblical.
Well, you know, I'm not against trying to unify the men of God and bring them out there and, you know, promote masculinity and let's bring the rightful place of the man back in the household as a priest of the household, you know, fellowship, things like that. But what the hell is going on bringing a male stripper in there? I saw him licking the sword. He puts it down his throat like a deep throat character. Shimmies up the pole. This is what you find in stripper bars.
Yeah.
And Mark Driscoll may know a little bit about deliverance, but many people's deliverance ended, oh, it must be Python or Jezebel. No, it's much worse than that. There was no women in there. This is all men. This is a homosexual spirit.
Well, and this they can the have first Jezebels time. Too, yeah. And look, I'm not saying there's not some skill involved with swallowing a sword. But once you know, if it's a masculine thing, bring back the power team guys that tear phone books in half.
Right.
Or break handcuffs. They were cool. At least they weren't naked, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, what is the main problem we've got right now? Transgenderism? Homosexuality? Sexual confusion? It's across the land.
No.
Is T.D. Jakes
on? The main problem we have right now is a lukewarm dead church.
Well, yes.
Because everything would get better. This revival is the solution to everything. And when the priests don't preach sin, then curses land on a nation. And one of the first curses is homosexuality.
But I'm talking
This is a consequence of the church not doing their job. And
agreed.
James River
agreed.
Is one of those places that has not been doing their job. They're a seeker-friendly megachurch that wants to make everybody comfortable and be entertained and puts on a show. And they've been doing it that way for a long, long time.
I can't disagree with you on that. What I'm saying, though, is it's right in your face.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, the big question today is T.D. Jakes homosexual? I don't know. I know there's people with some strong opinions on that. I don't know the answer to it, but I would not be surprised. Look at Eddie Long out of Atlanta. You know, abuse men.
I'm in Kansas City. Okay, I'm up to my eyeballs in this collapse of the International House of Prayer. And Mike Bickle, more Jane Does keep coming out of the woodwork. There was one, and then there was three, and then now there was four, and now there's eight. And they say up to 20 that have testified of sexual abuse. And this is not people held down. This is not criminal. This is people where the pastor said, you know, God has revealed to me that you need to be dinked. God has revealed to me that you're going to be my wife when my wife dies and we should start now. Or whatever fool thing he said to him, but somehow got in their pants or got in their blouse or did something under the guise. It was somehow consensual and yet pastoral abuse.
Well, look at
that. And the whole thing, they're losing $500,000 a month.
Yep.
And have announced last week they were shutting down and reorganizing, and then the lawyer said, no, don't do that. That's just trying to cover liability. But 90% of the staff, they've got to fire. They had 500 paid staffers, and they can only afford 50 now. So they're shrinking down the school and the university and selling off properties to build a war chest to fight the lawsuits that are coming because of this.
Well, look at lady who's a minister of music over there. Then she got
Misty
caught.
Misty Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, the one, yeah. Misty Edwards, the one that people love her music so much. She's got dreadlocks, and that's a girl. And she's been having sex for years?
Years.
Was one of those
people? Yeah, a decade. Yeah.
You know,
with the guy who used to be married to Mike Bickle's sister.
What's going on here?
And before they got a divorce, and then after they got a divorce, and then he blackmailed her into continuing the relationship, and people knew, and it was all covered up and covered up and covered up. And this, it's not even the beginning of what's going to come out about that whole thing.
Robbie, you know? Zacharias?
And it's horrible. It's horrible. How many kids that put their faith in something, spent their money on something, whatever, how many wasted hours, you know, it's horrible. And people are gonna look up and say, how much treasure in heaven did I get for the chandelier in the sanctuary at First Baptist Dallas that cost $1 million, you know, or
Doug,
whatever.
Robbie Zacharias?
Oh, yeah.
He's on the road in Thailand getting massages? I know what goes on in Asia.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to go over there and write my book. Listen, these people are lecherous. The chickens are coming home to roost. And this sin needs to be called out. It's gotten to the highest levels of the church, into the broadcast networks. Horrible. TBN, Daystar have been hit with scandals. They all need to repent because it's a blight on the cross of Jesus.
Well, we were talking about that tonight because I just got on here, raced home after our Thursday night church at the thrift store at 7 o'clock, and we have a lot of folks. They won't go to church, but they'll come sit around in a thrift store and pray and hold hands and find Jesus. So anyway, we were talking tonight. I've really been seeking the Lord about all of this mess. Hillsong, Bethel, IHOP, all of this stuff, and the Creflo Dollar, TD Jakes, you couldn't make a list. And even if you made a list of all the famous ones, there's churches with a pastor with 40 people in the congregation, and he's stealing the money and cheating them and hurting them and sinning and doing bad. There's no way to make a list of all the false shepherds. So you got to look at, okay, what is it that makes them that way? Or what is it? How is it they get that way? Or how do we avoid anyone like that? And for sure in the case of Bethel and IHOP and some of those, it's a delusion. When he turns you over to a delusion, every time in Judges or Chronicles, when the nation falls away and chases other gods, they say, oh, it's always been like this. God isn't watching. We can get away with anything. And it's always pride. And they think they're rich and have need of nothing, even though they're actually blind, wretched, naked, and poor. And at some point, God in his mercy sends a prophet, sends Gideon, sends Samson, they live right with God for a while, and then they go back to it again. And every 50 years, America has had a great awakening since before it was the United States. But we were due in the year 2000 and missed it. So we're 25 years late on getting some spiritual renewal that was desperately needed in this country. And here we are getting more and more and more depraved. And when God puts you under a delusion and you think you're rich and have need of nothing, it's because he removes fear of the Lord. Repentance is a gift that flows from the throne of God. It says Jesus went to the right hand of the Father so as to pour repentance out on Israel. And if he doesn't pour out conviction and repentance, there's no fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you're just going to accept whatever fool nonsense anybody tries to feed you. And this whole, especially IHOP, because this whole bridal paradigm, this whole God chases me, he's jealous for me, he's in relationship with me, he's a jealous boyfriend. It's all familiarity, as if he's just like us, except he's desperate for us. He wants us so bad, and he loves me, and he's never going to turn on me, and I'm so blessed, every day I'm blessed, and so much of Christian music, and everything is me, 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 he loves me. It's just like self-affirmation, positive thinking nonsense you'd say in the mirror in the morning. God loves me, he's for me, he's on my side, he's whatever. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no real understanding of the giant chasm between you little ant, and the big giant foot suspended over your head, which may or may not come down on you at any moment. And it's like we're looking through the glass of the ant farm, telling each other that we're sure we know what the big face had for lunch. And we couldn't possibly understand what the big face is thinking. We're just stinking ants. But we're totally full of pride, of hubris, that we're just sure we have a five-point plan, and we know this is how God works. And the thing we all have in common is that we're stupid little ants that should be on our knees crying like a baby that we ever believe for a second that we understood him, could comprehend him, or could control him, or get him to show up on time, or whatever. You know, we should shut up and just do whatever he says and stop listening to man tell us what he wants as if they know, because they don't.
Well, I think
and if
that's,
some of that sticks and somebody gets some fear of the Lord out of all of that, that would be great.
Absolutely. I said a year ago, next chapter for America is fear of the Lord. It's coming because we've lost it.
Yeah.
We don't even go to the house of God with the reverence and respect that I remember growing up in. I knew when I stepped through those doors, I was going to meet God. Today, it's become a social media hookup place. How are you going to have the fear of the
Lord?
There
was a time when real, serious, called men of God preached the truth, brimstone and fire if necessary, a carrot or a stick. You know, I obey him because of the love of God, because I want him to smile at me, be proud of me. I don't obey him to earn my salvation. I don't obey him because I'm worried about hell. I obey him because he's worthy no matter where I end up. But some people are motivated by the fear of hell. Some people are motivated by the love of God. And he preaches both to get everybody one way or the other. And because he knows sometimes we need one, sometimes we need the other. A pat on the head or a spanking. But we don't have that anymore. We have people that became ministers because it gives them access to kids. We have all kinds of in between, and I'm not saying there isn't anybody out there that's real and serious. I know some really great guys, but practically everybody that's famous, I'm automatically suspicious of, because there's so much compromise necessary in order to get that many people to be pleased with what you're saying. You know, I've been a lot of places once, and they don't invite me back because I discomforted everybody, including the clergy. Because they should have all been on their knees. You know, we can't pray for revival. And, oh Lord, please send fun time. Lord, please send this, some experience where we're rolling on the floor, or send some excitement in the church that'll bring in new members. No. You don't get a fresh fire until you say you're sorry that you blew the last one out. Why is he going to, if you're not even apologetic that you've lost your lampstand, you've lost your first love, that the locusts ate everything, if you don't even see it, acknowledge it, and say you're sorry for it, why is he going to come back? Why is he going to come and heal your land? We just think we deserve it. We deserve. We're a good people, good country, doing good things. He should show up. He might like it here. We're wonderful. No, this is Babylon. We are horrible, filthy, stinking, lying hypocrites. And we, until somebody says, yes, you're right, Lord, we get it, we hear you, we are, please in your mercy, please come, please have mercy on us. You don't get a fresh fire till you say you're sorry for blowing out the last one. And people aren't even aware that it's a giant post-apocalyptic Terminator wasteland in the church. Like, it's just, in the spirit, it's just dead bodies and skulls as far as you can see. It's just horrible. Black birds eating dead bodies everywhere.
You know, it's something strange that I've noticed. Growing up in the church now, for 52 years of my 54 years. That's the earliest I remember, 2 years old, in the church.
Yeah.
It used to be Jesus could come at any time, be ready to meet him, the rapture's coming, then the tribulation. And One good thing about that is at least it caused people to realize, you know what, I need to be ready to meet Jesus tonight if he comes. Well, I later learned he ain't coming back imminently. In fact, he said when he's coming back, immediately after the tribulation of those days at the last trump. People right. can read Matthew 24, 29 to 31. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. But that being said, I hear just a handful of people talking about the rapture these days. You know what they're really talking about? I'm seeing conversation on Facebook. People are saying that the book of Revelation's already been revealed. I think they call those people preterists.
Yeah,
they believe that all that stuff has been done. Folks, it hasn't been done. Jesus isn't ruling and reigning from Mount Zion.
Stars didn't fall. Sun didn't turn black. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the result of it, of all that I think I see going on, is people are ill-prepared for, I think, the next chapter as this thing unfolds in the next few years. Some say the Great Tribulation won't start till the next Shemitah, which would be 2030 at the earliest. Now, maybe they're right about that. I don't know. But let's just say we had another 5 or 6 years. War on the saints is coming. We're seeing persecution in other countries for the cause of Christ, but we've never really seen it in America yet. And that's the next chapter. And I fear that the American church specifically is not ready. They're ill-prepared for what is coming. And you know what? Tribulation is going to sort it all out. It's going to sort us out. We'll either be willing to lay our lives down for Christ and deny the mark, deny the worship of the beast, or we will compromise and take that mark and worship the beast. It's going to sort out true Christians from those that are Christian in name only, fair weather Christians. As long as God is prospering me and everything's good and I don't have to think about what's happening to those poor saps over there in North Korean prisons and in communist countries, which there's quite a few out there on the globe, you can be arrested for preaching the gospel in Vietnam. Some people don't realize that. Other countries. Tribulation's coming, and war on the saints is coming. And, you know, it says Satan will even wear us out. I was never happy when I read that. I didn't think that was fair, but God knows all about it. But I do know that there is a verse that talks about there will be people that do exploits, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, love not their lives unto death. I think you're with me that you believe that we're going to be here for the long haul, but
yeah,
I worry about those that are yearning for a pre-trib rapture. That's all they can think about. I think if you're a real man and woman of God, you're going to want to occupy for Jesus, and you've got to be willing to die with your boots on. I think the only rapture many people are going to get is going to be death. Some are dying. That was their rapture. If you want to call it that, they're gone. But what about you and I that are still here? We've got a job to do. Has Jesus ever rescinded the Great Commission? Can you read anywhere where he said, we're done? We don't need to preach the gospel. Don't worry about any signs that follow them that believe, Doug.
No.
Absolutely not. So in any military, you continue with the last order until it's rescinded or you get a new order. Or it's, you know, mission accomplished. And we're over there entertaining homosexual spirits at the James River Church John Lindell Conference. A homosexual man who's come out on social media and says, I don't have any children. You said I had children. I've been saved 10 years. He's not saved. He needs salvation. That brother should have had an altar call he could have went to, not be invited to come up there and swallow a sword in front of men. I mean, that's homosexual. They needed to have a deliverance conference breakout over there. That's going to be what changes things. And you know what? Hey, I'm not against people.
I don't know the guy. I don't know the story. I don't know his faith. I don't know whatever. I'm just like, what the heck? What's the point of a sword swallower? Is there not enough Jesus to talk about? That we, you know, the mega church I used to go to had a 40-foot tall laser light show singing Christmas tree where the choir were dressed as ornaments on this giant scaffolding. And they did it for like 10 years and sold tickets and did 9 shows and like charged people $15 a ticket. And then they went back and said, okay, did anybody get saved during this? Nobody, not a one. not they had, you know, Kris Kringle and Mrs. Santa would, and Frosty the Snowman would come down the aisle, and it was completely pointless. It was just entertainment. It had nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus, had no benefit, and was just part of the wasted money nonsense in America that we call church.
I don't rebuke people for where they want to give their money. You know, if you want to support a pastor and him buying a Learjet, that's up to you. That's your money. You know, if a pastor wants to write a book and gets rich off of it, so be it. Again, I will say this. David Wilkerson didn't take a salary. He made money off the sale of his books. Love him or hate him, he didn't take a salary. So, you know, if you want to waste your money on one of these ministries that clearly are using money for the wrong purposes, hey, that's your money down the drain. Don't expect a reward in heaven. But right. I take exception with the fact that the church at large does not get together and call out sin, real sin, homosexual pastors, murder of the children, lady pastors getting up there with a crew cut with green hair that are lesbians.
Yeah.
I mean, the church has gone apostate. It makes me sick. It's compromise. If I see another pastor up there in skinny pants with hole in their jeans, I might have to operate a GoFundMe to take some money to buy him some clothes. I would have never seen my grandfather, Weber or Davis, step foot in the house of God to get in there and preach the gospel and have an altar call in skinny pants with holes in their knees. They came in the best they had. It may have been a cheap suit. That may have been all they could afford. Maybe not a $1,000 suit, maybe a $150 suit, a Sears or JCPenney. But they went in there to meet God. And you came in there to meet God. You dressed in your best if it was a pair of jeans that were pressed and a white T-shirt. My father was so poor. When he was stationed over in Okinawa, preaching at the Church of God, church they had there in Okinawa, he came in there in his green trousers and a white T-shirt and a pair of wingtip shoes. Really kind of a crazy combination. That's the best he had. Then he finally got a cheap suit, and it was for a shorter man because there's about a foot gap between his ankles and the hem of his pants. My point is, he did the best he can. I'm not against people who come in off the street and can't do any better, or people that are just po'. Okay, they're just some po' people out there. They do the best they can. I'm talking about people who are millionaires and coming in there looking like they want to be this month's issue of GQ, or they want to be some, you know, bone thug. What is going on here? That's offensive to me.
The bands are the same too. You know, I look at the cover of some of the Christian bands and the pictures of the band, and I'm like, dude, you guys are just sold out. I mean, you look exactly like the world, and that's not good at all. You know,
well, that same James River Church, they had another conference. This has been going on for a while. The last one, they brought in a tank with a guy standing up out of it as it's running over cars, shooting simulated Uzis. And that was kind of strange, but the wickeder part is they had an 80s hair band up there singing some ungodly music. It was like they pulled Rat over there to perform for a worship service. I mean, what's going on here? I don't understand how that has anything relationship to the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Not only that, it's an insult to men. As if this is what makes you a man. Tanks and Uzis and hair bands is what guys like, what guys want, and what keeps guys entertained. Not talk about faithfulness or honor or being a father or whatever. We need to blow stuff up to get their attention because they're just such a whatever short attention span TikTok entertainment generation. Really? Is that the Christians we have to work with now?
Well,
that's the best we got. It's scary and sad and horrible.
There's a lack of deliverance. I want to think I can find a common denominator. And many times it has come down to the very fact that they just don't do deliverance. Assemblies of God said in a mission statement back in the 70s that we don't believe a Christian can have a demon.
Yeah.
And they've come around a little bit, but they're still not sure. Right now they're wondering if their position is right or not. They've never admitted to the fact that we all need deliverance. That it's the children's bread no doubt. And when you don't have deliverance, you got demons.
And it's a basic lack of fear of the Lord, because we think we're so whatever that demons can't touch us. Demons can't get on us. We're rich and have need of nothing. It still tracks back to pride, which comes when God takes away fear of the Lord. And that's how he turns you over to a delusion. The delusion is, I don't need God. We can do things our way. And Satan's a construct, and he's not even real, or whatever, or we're impervious against demons. And then you're not fighting. You're just playing a game, and you think, you know, it's a ridiculous mess. And I can go into the finances of the church. You know, we spend 95% of all the money on the people that are already Christians. It's
a religious spirit. It says
next time I'm on here, I'll bring all the materials, have them right in front of me. Let's just talk about the money. It's horrifying. It's shocking. It was a big part of me seeing that things are so messed up. They have to be supernaturally messed up, because nobody's this stupid, you know.
Doug, the book of Revelation talks about some of the churches that Jesus had issue with. And one of them that many people identify with our current time, I believe, is the church in Laodicea.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the church? How was it described?
That they believe they're rich and have need of nothing, but they're really blind, rich, and naked, and poor.
Absolutely. I believe it's a religious spirit.
And he says, repent. But you can't repent, because you got no reason to repent, because you're rich and have need of nothing. So why are you going to say you're sorry? Why are you even going to see your needfulness? He says, by eye salve, they were famous in Laodicea for this salve that could cure people's eyes. And so he's personalizing it to their city and says, by eye salve from me, that you would see clearly, repent. But they can't repent because they're stuck with the pride and their sense that they're perfectly okay.
And
that's
demons.
The catch-22 that we're in. When God turns you to a strong delusion and you think you're rich and have need of nothing and he's on your side, you're not going to repent, which is what you must do, because you're toast without it. And he's going to spew you out. But they can't repent. And that's the horrible. I would rather be in Bali, man. I would rather be in Africa. I'd rather be in India. I'd rather be anywhere but here. Because these people are so over-churched and so overconfident that none of them see their needfulness. Unless the Lord takes the scales off their eyes, they're just sure they're okay.
Pray for Bali.
And that anybody says different is horrible.
Pray for Bali, the Assemblies of God, other denominations, Hillsong. They've got another one called City Church. Have deep hooks in the people over here.
Yeah.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Well, it's coming down. And the thing is, when it comes down, we want to be something left. You know, we want people to go, okay, that was fake, now what? Let's find the real. Instead of just, that was fake, I give up on Jesus. And, you know, Corrie Ten Boom was a missionary in China. And before the Boxer Rebellion and the communist takeover. And she preached a pre-trib rapture. And she lamented it to her dying breath that she had done that, because when persecution came, many, many, many of the disciples fell away.
That's right.
Because they were told, you're not going to have to suffer. And yet the Bible says we endure tribulation, that this is what you can expect as a Christian walk, that your own members of your own house are going to try to kill you, and you're supposed to rejoice through it. But she didn't prepare and equip them, and a lot of the work that she'd done, they completely lost their faith when the communists came in and started wiping them out and took over.
That's
and she said,
right.
I'm never going to preach that again. We're going to memorize scripture, because they're going to take it away from us. We're going to hide. We're going to take pages and put them in Ziploc bags and bury them in the backyard so we can find them when they take everything else away. We're going to prepare and equip people. You know, the Assemblies of God, I'm like, dude, it's like living in Florida and never believing that it's even possible a hurricane could hit you. We're not going to stock up on water. We're not going to have a shelter in the basement. We're not going to have boards to put over the windows, because we're going to be out of here before the hurricane gets here. Dude, at least prepare in case. Maybe nobody will ever, no hurricane will ever hit you. Maybe not. but you ought to at least be ready, you know? And so if I tell people it's pre-wrath, it's right at the great and terrible day of the Lord, we meet him in the air, be ready for tribulation. If I'm wrong and we get out of here because the pre-trib rapture was right, at least they're prepared. But if I preach the pre-trib rapture and I tell them, be soft, don't worry, don't harden, don't be a martyr, don't worry about hardening yourself against whatever comes, don't rejoice in affliction, and then it isn't a pre-trib rapture, I've lost them all. It's
absolutely. Isn't it just like Jesus said in the parable of the sowers? There's a group that anon with joy, they received the gospel. But yeah, when persecution came for the name of Jesus, they got offended and fell away.
Yeah.
Offended.
Yeah, yeah.
My goodness, folks, we haven't seen nothing yet. The real terrorist are going to be those who believe in the Word of God, call themselves believers, Christians and Jews. That's next stop on this timeline, persecution, like we've never seen. And judgment of God, definitely pouring out in our country. Again, I do believe that what is coming to the border every day, 10,000 to 15,000 men, is God in his Word where he said, I will fill your land with men like caterpillars. They will lift up a shout against you. I believe we're in the early stages of it. No, I don't believe Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I don't even believe the tribulation has started. It's down the road a bit. It might be another 5 or 6 years off. All I know, though, is we've got a job to do. And as my great uncle Johnny said, he said, son, this thing may just drag out excruciatingly slow. And this was 2011 when he told me that. And I think about that from time to time. I'm thinking, man, I thought it was over then. No, we're still here. And we haven't seen nothing yet. It's getting worse. And what are we going to do? Are we going to just sit on the sideline, pray for the rapture? The cowardly do that. Or are we going to man and woman up and say, Lord, what can I do with you with the time that I've got left here? Because the enemy's on a warpath here. He's not going to back off. He's infiltrating churches. We're seeing compromise. I believe God is uncovering what is covered. Judgment starts first the house of God. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Things are coming apart at the very foundations of society, the church, the financial grid. Folks, we haven't seen nothing yet. You better be prepared to die with your boots on, because none of us are getting out of alive. In my opinion, there'll be very few that are alive remaining at the last trump. Most will have been killed for denying Christ, if you're even alive that long.
If you add up the bowls and the vials and the trumpets and whatever, 2/3 of the world dies.
There you go.
You know, I've had running a homeless shelter 20 years. I've laid hands on 10 dead bodies.
Wow.
Something here. People that passed away here with us of various things. And I tell every time it happens, I tell everybody around me, get used to seeing people you love dead in front of you. Get used to rejoicing through it. Being grateful that they're out of here. Hopefully they're with Jesus. But you better get used to this, because we're going to watch 2/3 of the world die. And I know that there are beautiful, sweet saints that are here with us now, that I'm going to send them off on a mission trip to Africa or something and never see them again or whatever. And I have to be okay every time. He said, say goodbye like you mean it, because you never know. And they could just be going to the grocery store and that's the last time you're ever going to see them. So say what you got to say. Make sure they know how you feel. Don't have regrets about it, because we don't know. And it's always been the case for man, but more now than ever, you know. And I want to urge people. I think the proper biblical model for church is the city church. Church of Ephesus, Church of Smyrna, Church of Laodicea. He addresses all the people that are in that place. I'm part of the Church of Excelsior Springs. If you're part of the Church of Bali or whatever city you're in, or Boston or whatever, it's only because the only allowable division is that we can't all be in the same place at the same time. That can't be helped. But we shouldn't be dividing over the names of men, over secondary doctrines, over anything else. If you made it through the narrow gate and I made it through the narrow gate, then we're one and that's all there is to it. We need to start loving one another and working together. That doesn't mean we all meet in the same building on Sunday. That doesn't mean we're all doing the same thing. We're all different parts. But we ought to manifest our oneness to the world somehow, because Jesus said this is the best evangelism message there is. When they see that we're one, as he and the Father are one, then the world will know that you sent me. So we got to start manifesting that. And we got to start manifesting it on a city level. Because when God judges, he judges cities. Now, a whole nation may take a punishment, but he could rescue a city that was righteous. And when he talks to Lot, for 20, I would save it. For 5, I would save it. And there weren't 5, you know. And you know, 10. So he says, woe to you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. It would have been better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you after what you've seen and you still didn't turn. And I think everybody ought to start praying for their city, for the Christians in that city to start being one, for the lampstand to get lit, because I'm pretty sure you don't have one, and for the fire of God to start protecting that place, put a dome over it and protect it, so that even if San Francisco and every other Berkeley and everything around here falls, maybe this city, this suburb will be okay, because we're honoring God, because we're trying to do right. And even the red states, there's places that are horrible, that are completely given over to Satan and all the systems of Satan. And I'm not political. I don't vote. I don't care about all that. But typically, the God-fearing people are going to be in the more conservative areas. And in Dimitri Dudeman's vision and lots of other visions, they've, in all the maps where like California's in the ocean and Florida's underwater, there's a safe zone around about 250 miles around Kansas City, dead center in the middle of the country. Dimitri Dudeman said that there's like 9 flags of foreign entities flying over the country, and that the U.S. Army would fight back to the – would go compress in the middle and then start fighting their way back. And that was supposed to be in the 80s, and if we got 10,000 intercessors, it wouldn't happen. And I guess we did, because it didn't happen. But I know bunches and bunches of pastors independently of one another have been praying for years for a 250-mile radius around Kansas City, and it's always 250 miles. And I've never had somebody say, well, God said 300 or 275. Independently, one after the other, I mean, them years apart, they say 250 miles. So I'm encouraging everybody I know to get inside that inside that circle or close to it, which is, you know, Omaha, Des Moines, almost to St. Louis, Springfield, you know, Wichita, Topeka, all of that, but Joplin. But I think there is a – I think there – if you had to look and say, well, how come that's a safe zone? Well, I don't think it's the only one, but maybe because there's more people praying. Maybe because there's repentance happening. Maybe because God's lighting the lampstands and their cities trying to get right with him.
I agree. God can take you through the fire without burning if he chooses to spare your life, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, Dimitri Dudeman even wrote a book by that title. So even though we know that New York State, Florida, Las Vegas, California are going to burn in one day, either their nuclear arsenals being hit or, you know, hit with a nuclear weapon strike. And we know that the Bible has a lot to say about America, Babylon. Jeremiah 50, 51, I believe it is. Zechariah 14, Revelation 18. You know, these verses that say the merchants of the earth, they cry as they're sitting in their barges off the shores of Babylon, knowing that there's no one that's going to be able to buy their goods anymore. And, you know, let's see, it becomes basically...
Can I say, Shannon?
Yes.
It says what it takes to make all that stuff. At the very end, all of these $5 sweatshirts and $10 tennis shoes and all this stuff, it says requires, that is the souls of men. you know, the gold, the diamonds, the all of this stuff that we want to have so cheap and have in such an abundance requires the souls of men. There are pastors in Chinese prisons making Christmas lights and nativity sets and all the Jesus junk we sell at Christian bookstores. Because it'd be just like the Chinese government, make them work 16 hours, making stupid little bookmarks for us that they could make money on and have them on starvation rations.
Well, you know, America,
Satan's
traffics in the souls of men. Look at all the children that are disappearing.
Yeah.
The people disappearing at the border, being absorbed. I mean, we're in some serious trouble. Stuart Best did a program many years ago at America Babylon, looked at all the nations of the world and found 120 biblical parameters, if I recall, that a nation would need to be that one that's talked about, the end time Babylon. America was the only one that fit them all.
Yeah.
Great city, Babylon, New York City. It's going to be destroyed. Jonathan Hansen saw it. David Wilkerson saw it, wrote about it in the 1974 book, The Vision. Saw all of New York burning. I mean, it's coming, folks.
Hey, let me tell you this. There's a passage about a city on seven hills, and about Babylon, about whatever. And I was talking to the Lord about that one time, and if your perspective is God, a hill isn't. They say Rome is a city on seven hills. Well, those aren't hills if your perspective is God. But the United States has the Rocky Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, the Sierras, the Cascades, whatever. And then after the war in 1967 in Israel, we got the Alaskan Mountain Range and the Hawaiian Mountain Range. The tallest mountain in the world. Do you know what that is? Mauna Kea.
Mauna Kea. I didn't know that.
Except most of it's underwater. But it's twice as tall as Everest, almost.
Wow.
The Hawaiian Islands are a mountain chain. And with the Alaskan and the Hawaiian, that makes the United States a city on seven hills.
Well, now, I can't prove this, but I read this obscure footnote one day that said there are actually seven hills in New York, Staten Island area. And of course, it's interesting. There's even a city over there called Babylon, New York. You can actually get a P.O. box in Babylon. Whether it be the daughter of the Babylon, I believe it's the one that's being referred to, that in 1 hour it will be destroyed. And, you know, that many prophets have seen, even A. Allen saw what was coming. Yeah. And then, you know, we've got the perfect setup for the Red Dawn invasion coming. You know, the new leader of Colombia is a former guerrilla leader. Not the FARC, but it was the one underneath it. It was called M19. He's communist, fascist. Brazil hates Israel. You know, he's a criminal that should still be in jail. They put him in office. Ortega, Daniel Ortega, Nicaragua. Former communist. One after the next of these countries is falling. And it's not going to be any problem for an invasion to come up to the southern border.
You mean more than we've already had?
Oh, no, I'm talking actual military troops. Mexico, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America. I've lived in many of the countries in Central America, and I can tell you what it means to be to undergo some racism.
Sure.
I've been called gringo, guero. Over here, they call me bule. And as long as, you know, America has military power and the dollar is, you know, the main currency, which that's being destabilized, as we know, then people, they have no choice but to take you. But when we've lost the king of the hill status, you know what? I wouldn't want to be in one of these countries. They will lynch you in a minute. You'll be the odd man out. And many people are fleeing to places thinking they're going to be safe in places like Costa Rica and Central America. Well, if the locals don't get you, the volcanoes will.
Yeah.
Those things are lighting up. They just had a super volcano blow off over here in Indonesia. Thankfully, it's quite a ways from me, although I've got my own here about 30 kilometers away. No, there's no safe place to go. outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But beyond that, if we really believed the warning, we would prepare. And, you know, I believed the warning, and I did what I could, and I maybe did overkill on it. I prepared for hard times coming, even 20 years back. Put back food, water, gold, anything I could do, beans, bullets, and bullion. You know what? I just said, you never know what you might have to encounter, and I want to be prepared. Well, I realize that stuff doesn't last forever, and you can lose it all, but the point I'm making here is I fear for those that have the warning like the rest of us, and they do nothing. Not preparing, number one, spiritually to endure to the end, because granted, you may put all your trust in the arm of the flesh, and you can lose it all, folks. It can be taken by force. You can be separated from it. It can be devalued. The rats can get it. And, you know, the Lord rebuked me a number of years ago. He said, you know, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we remember the name of Yahovah our God, and referred me back to a sermon a guy preached called The Sword of the Cross You Choose. And I wasn't preparing to pick up the cross. I was trying to fight it with the sword. Well, that's not the way out of the end time scenario. He that lives by the sword must die by the sword. I do believe in being able to protect your family. I'm not against the Second Amendment, right? I wish I had it here. All I've got is a butter knife or a blow dart gun. But just saying. Actually, I do have a baseball bat. And that was kind of odd. I bought one at the mall, and the guy kind of looked at me, and he said, "We don't play baseball here." I'm like, "What's a baseball bat being sold for?" I said, "Well, I've got it, you know, to hit some of these street dogs." But,
yeah.
But you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to protect my family if someone wants to bust through and rape everybody up in here like they're doing up there in Lincoln Park. No, I will hit some home runs for Jesus. Let the Lord sort them out. But the point I'm making here is we need to be prepared to endure to the end. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ if it cost you everything. It cost him everything. Cost all the disciples everything, at least those that did not betray Jesus, like Judas. Then it cost him his soul. He's in hell tonight. That may be where some end up, because they thought they were going to get out of here before all trouble started. Or they thought that once saved, always saved. I can take the mark, and Jesus will understand, and he'll still let me in. Well, you got another thing coming. All who take the mark or worship the beast will have their part in the lake of fire. That's what the word says. So I say get a King James Bible, because maybe yours doesn't say that. That's my micro-sermon tonight. Brother Doug, how do people contact you in your ministry?
The website's fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. The YouTube channel's FOTM1, the number one. Email's FOTM@fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. That works for PayPal if you want to help donate. All of our books are available free. We just open our arms. Let me announce also... this is going out tonight, right? This is live,
yes,
or will be?
No, we are live. Always live. Yes, sir.
Okay. Saturday. Today's Thursday. Saturday, the 27th of April, we're having a Fill My Cup, Lord Zoom conference. We have just 25 slots so that people can get personal attention, but we do have space open. If a person wants to participate, send an email to FOTM@fellowshipofthemartyrs.com, and we'll reply back with the sign-up information. You need to do it tonight or tomorrow, but we are going to get some personal FaceTime with me. We're going to talk about what's in your cup, what needs to get out of your cup, and the reality of how to get your cup full. And I'm not talking about reading the Bible or singing worship music. I'm talking about grabbing the hem of his garment and sucking hard until your cup's full. About the reality of what the Lord showed us, that we need to stop praying for the latter rain and the early rain and go be the rain. He said, "I put endless springs of living water inside of each of you. As soon as you stop being lukewarm and stagnant and sitting on your lees, we get this show on the road." So what has happened here is that the Lord has shown us how to help each other get our cups full, how to spiritually pour out, how to impart spiritual gifts, and the reality of that. And of course, you always put your armor on. I don't want anybody rolling on the floor, clucking like a chicken, or whatever. We just want Jesus. But it really does work that way. You really can just reach up and touch the hem of his garment and get what you need. And so we're going to talk through the reality of that. It's from noon to 2 Central Standard Time, this Saturday, the 27th. And So if you send us an email, if you want to register for that, it's free. We're going to do it again in the future, see how it goes. It'll be simulcast on YouTube, and you'll be able to watch it later as well. But I want people to understand the reality of how to get your cup full, how people are doing it wrong, stupid stuff like grave soaking. But that doesn't mean that saints in the past didn't say things that still carry the Holy Spirit, that touches our heart. I can read something by Smith Wigglesworth, even where he gave a message in tongues, and I still get the interpretation on it. You know, it still has power. But a lot of people doing fire tunnels, doing other stuff, doing it wrong, laying on the floor giggling instead of things that will, you know, give you more fear of the Lord and improve your walk.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so we'll talk about what's wrong, who's getting it wrong, how to do it right, and it'll be a couple of hours of question and answer time and prayer and whatever. If people want to do that this Saturday at noon Central Standard Time, send me an email, FOTM@fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. It's free, and we want to be a blessing to you and help you learn how to get your cup full, keep it full, and be able to walk into tribulation with your cup overflowing as a conqueror, pouring out on everybody else in the FEMA camp.
Thank you,
because
Doug. For
there's times he's going to rescue us, and 1,000 will fall on our left hand and 10,000 on our right hand and all that. But we also know that the enemy's going to be given power to persecute and kill some of the saints. And so even as you're walking up to the guillotine, you need to be the kind of person that is flowing with the power of God, so that the guy pulling the handle on the guillotine sees the look in your eye and leaves his position to get in line behind you, because Jesus is that powerful coming out of you. And so that's what we're trying to prepare, those kind of people that are so full of the Holy Spirit, no matter what comes, they're unshakable. And anyway, so that's us.
Doug.
We've got Cash App and Chime and Venmo and all that's on the website, fellowshipofthemartyrs.com, if they wanted to donate that way. But
fantastic.
I know.
We're out of time for tonight. Go to fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. Doug, get me a date for your next date.
Okay, I will do that.
God bless you, man. Thank you, sir. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I've got to set up for Terry Cook, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.